The Senate Education Committee is being called to order. Today is Friday, February 5th. The time is 9:02 a.m. In attendance are Vice Chair Senator Stevens, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Holland. As chair, absent are Senator Machicki and Senator Hughes. I believe they'll be running a little late this morning. Thanks to Jean, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. There is one item on today's calendar. Today we will hear Senate Bill 19 related to the extension of the Special Education Service Agency. This is the first hearing of the bill in the 32nd legislature. My intent is to introduce the bill, hear invited testimony, review the legislative audit report, and understand the fiscal note. Senator Stevens, would you like to introduce your staff and offer opening comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll go down there if you don't mind.
And Mr. Chairman, I've prepared about 90 questions for a minute.
We'll allot about 5 seconds per question.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to be here before the committee and have you consider Senate Bill 19 simply an extension of CESA, it's a Special Education Service Agency. This agency provides very impressive and very valuable public service to our students and our families here in Alaska. They offer expert assistance for children who have rare or complex disabilities. As you will be hearing, they are based in Anchorage, but they extend their services statewide. The last extension of this CESA was in 2013. As a former school board president, I know the valuable services they provide to our school districts. In the last school year, they provided services to 45 school districts, more than 3,000 students across the state, and also provided 320 on-site consultations with school districts. It really is an organization of enormous value to Alaska's children, to our parents, to teachers, and to school districts. Simply, this will extend the sunset date 8 years, the maximum 8 years, to 2029, June 30, 2029. You'll be hearing from Patrick Pillai, the executive director, and the impressive work that he and his organization have done, as well as Chris Curtis, the auditor with LBNA. So, Mr. President, I'll turn this over to Tim and my staff and Tim Lamkin, and he's been working extensively on this bill.
Thank you. Mr. Lamkin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you, we want to thank you for hearing this bill. Before you is it's time to review the Special Education Service Agency once again, hereafter referred to as CESA. This, Mr. Chairman, is an opportunity to recognize an agency that does a lot with relatively little. It's a statewide service that's based in Anchorage. This is not just an agency, but as you'll find, a community of people that do a unique and, well, special set of services for severely disadvantaged youth, giving these individuals a chance at life when faced with things such as being deaf and blind, severely autistic, or managing a spectrum of other severe and unique disabilities. Clearly, there's a lot of trust and respect that for what they do, and helping a lot of people, Alaska families, schools, students. It's a sensitive subject area that requires a lot of compassion, care, patience, grace, and frankly, love to do what they do. This bill is fairly straightforward. It extends its operations into the next time cycle from 2028. That is an error I'll come to here shortly. We're going to want to change that to 2029. They have responded pretty positively since their last audit. 2012-2013, you'll find this new audit is pretty constructive and illuminates CESA's success and efficacy. At this time, I'll go ahead into the sectional, which is pretty easy. Section 1 of the bill extends their operations to June 30th, 2028. That was
typographical error in the legal drafting process. It was intended for that to be 2029. So at some point, we'd like to see an amendment reflecting that change. Section 2 provides for a retroactive effective date in the event that it doesn't pass this session. And then when it does pass, it would provide for an immediate effective date. Happy to get into details of CESA's operations. We'll cover that shortly as we introduce the executive director and subsequently the legislative auditor and their report. That concludes my presentation, Mr. Chairman.
One quick question. What was the new date? I believe I have the.
The bill currently reads an effective date of June 30th, 2028. We'd like to see that change to 2029, consistent with statute and standard sunsetting provisions.
Thank you, Senators and Mr. Lampkin. Thank you, Senator Stevens and Mr. Lampkin. Is that the end of your presentation?
That's correct, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
If you'd like to, Senator Stevens, like to turn back to the committee chair, and we'll have a brief at ease to prepare the table for the next presenter. We'll do it right now, okay? Next, we have Patrick Pillay, the director of the Special Education Service Agency, who will update us on the agency's activities. Mr. Pillay, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation. Can you hear me?
You're on mute.
Brief at ease. Back to order. Mr. Pillay, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Please.
All right, there we go. So once again, Mr. Pillay, the Director of Special Education Service Agency, will update us on the agency's activities. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you. My name is Patrick Pillay. I'm Executive Director of the Special Education Service Agency. I've been the executive director for the past 9 years. I joined the agency in 1994 as a deaf education specialist, making this my 27th year with the agency. I've prepared an 18 slide presentation with the 18 slide marked for questions, but please go ahead and stop me at any point if you have questions, and I will follow the transcript that I sent in. To the next slide, please. We're going to slide 2. This is the homepage of CESA's website. It provides online access to program services and resources, a lending library, online professional development e-modules, and an easy process for school districts to submit online referrals for CESA service. The yellow text, the agency's mission statement, reflects the agency's focus on addressing the unique special education needs of students, parents, and teachers across Alaska's 54 school districts via year-round, on-site, and distance-delivered consultation and training. Next slide, please.
Mr. Pillay, is a brief at ease. Order. Mr. Pillay, if you could maybe tweak your, do you have a remote mic or something that you're speaking into, or just the computer?
The computer mic.
Okay, we're having a hard time, at least I personally am having a hard time with the audio. So I'll just ask you just to speak slowly and clearly, and we'll see how this works. All right, I'm sorry, so resume, I believe you're on slide 3?
Yes. Slide three, CISA's legacy of special education support evolved from the intent of Public Law 94-142, the Individuals with Disabilities Special Education Act of 1975, reauthorized in 2004 and amended in 2015 as the Every Student Succeed Act. The law mandates a free and appropriate public education to students with disabilities. CISA activity assists parents and school district staff make tangible, through specialized educational interventions, the services mandated by special education law. Next slide, please, slide four.
And I'll just mention quickly, Senator Hughes has joined the table, and I'm hearing you much better right now, so thank you so much. Slowly and clearly, thank you. Slide four.
Slide four, the statute establishing CISA specifically addresses technical assistance and service to students with low incidence disabilities. Low incidence disabilities is defined in the literature as occurring in less than 1% of the total population. The rarity of the disability manifests in the reality of possible infrequent need by a district, and as a consequence, special education services therefore not normally available. An example is a situation of one child with deafness in a rural school district with no access to a sign language interpreter and a special education teacher with no prior experience working with a deaf child. CISA affords such sites access to a specialist with an endorsement in deaf education. In addition to consultation, support, and training, other supplementary services are available. Example, assistance with application of mini grants, programming and setting up assistive technology, and cross-district trainings, etc. Next slide, please. Slide five.
Are there any questions? With no questions, slide five.
Although CISA Statute 143630B states that CISA shall focus on provision of low-incidence disability services, it does, under eligibility of service in AS 143350, indicate that CISA may provide services to disability categories other than low-incidence disabilities. It is through this qualification that CISA provides services to students with autism. School district requests for autism services currently comprise a CISA autism caseload exceeding 100 students. Requests for in-servicing staff on the topic of autism continues to increase each year. Many requests are for school-wide or district-wide trainings when numbers of students with autism are high. Larger districts have higher numbers. Anchorage has 700, Fairbanks has 169, Kenai 110, Juneau 78, and Kodiak 38. Most rural schools have numbers that range from 0 to 23. Slide 6. CISA's logic model captures the design and process to deliver specialized services to parents, students, and school districts. The intent is to address the gap via solutions that promote not only availability of CISA services, but increases through on-site and distance support the local capacity of the local site and school district. This approach is critical to meeting the needs of rural schools and of creating broad participant training to address staff turnover. Through trainings provided to school districts via common platforms, collaboration and networking amongst teachers and paraprofessionals is increased. This leads to sharing of resources, reduces isolation, and ultimately promotes retention of teachers, especially in rural remote areas of the state. Next slide, please.
With no questions, slide seven.
As part of operational process, CISA created benchmarks to guide specialist delivery of a high standard of service. The benchmarks provide a threshold of expectation and guide specialist evaluation for continuous improvement. A flow of service delivery includes initial contact with school district to establish relationship, identify need, and to plan technical assistance. Complete activities of file maintenance and compliance review. Prioritize site need as targeted, which means some local capacity, but site needs service. Intensive, which means no local capacity, raise need for service. or general capacity present but needs minimal guidance on how to proceed. Create a technical assistance objective based on review and site communication, and finally, provide technical assistance and training as needed. Next slide, please.
Slide 8.
Slide 8 demystifies technical assistance. The continuum of services includes observations, assessments, educational interventions, modeling of strategies, in-service trainings, assistive technology, and many more pertinent activities based on requests from the child's educational team members. It also includes other services such as assisting families when they visit ANMC for medical services, organizing and facilitating orientation and mobility training in the largest city of Anchorage for students who need orientation and mobility for exposure to navigate pavements, street lights, and traffic. Specialists also work with vendors to troubleshoot assistive technology when teachers call with complaints for device non-functionality. Next slide, please.
With no questions, slide 9.
Using feedback from our annual public audit and sunset legislative audits, CESA has designed a management system to include metrics for program and specialist evaluation. Post-service satisfaction surveys are both mailed to service recipients and are available on each specialist's iPad to make service feedback easier to collect. Feedback is shared and discussed with individual specialists, and collective information is shared with all specialists for continuous improvement of individual and agency-wide performance. Next slide, please.
Slide 10.
In addition to specialist evaluation, the CESA management system is designed to collect data on various aspects of agency activity. An activity is designed as any service contact that is 15 minutes or more. Service contact less than 15 minutes is captured in communication logs. Metrics include activities that are related to travel, creation of educational materials, all mission-centric activities, and writing of student service reports. Data is analyzed to understand variables impacting service and variables impacting the CESA budget. Next slide, please.
With no questions, slide 11.
Slide 11 is a visual example of the customized management system CESA has designed to ensure data-driven decision-making. Individual reports provide data on specialist activity, allowing for measurement of productivity, number of reports completed within agency time frame of 10 working days from date of on-site visit, school and site requesting service, active and historical student caseloads, both by district location and school. Next slide, please.
Slide 12.
Both legislative audits and the program component of annual public audits run tests of compliance with regard to process, procedure, and special education rules and regulations. This section of the database was created in response for specific data and with specific feedback from auditors. Following a recommendation of the CESA board to go green, CESA management worked to eliminate paper files. All of CESA's student record keeping is now electronic. The compliance element of the CESA database drives quarterly compliance reviews. This section of the database consistently earns praise from auditors for its elegant simplicity of compliance review. Next slide, please.
Slide 13.
Slide 13 captures in the bold red the number of students attending Alaska schools in any given year between 2011 and 2020. The solid blue line captures the steadily increasing numbers of students of CESA's low incidence caseload. Increasing numbers of students with LID means greater need for CESA services. High turnover of staff in many districts often drives the need for repeated trainings for new staff, especially first-year teachers who may be encountering any given disability for the first time. Next slide, please.
With no questions, slide 14.
Slide 14 is a history of CESA fund balance from 2013 projected to 2023. The cycle captures the low funds, usually seen at the end of a sunset cycle, 2013, the higher funds at the middle of the cycle and the trending to lower fund balance at the end of the cycle as a result of increasing costs. The typical scenario is slightly different in 2021 due to two premium holidays of health insurance, two unfilled specialist vacancies, and unspent travel funds due to COVID-19. In addition, we received $175,000 in discretionary funding received from the Department of Education and Early Development to assist CESA at two new specialists in 2019, and to assist creation of a fund balance beyond sunset without knowing when a funding increase may next be feasible. CESA's last funding increase was in 2014. At this time, CESA is not requesting an increase of funding. Next slide, please.
Slide 15.
The recently completed legislative audit concurs that CESA meets the needs of students with low incidence disabilities, provides professional development opportunities to teachers and paraprofessionals, provides special education resources to parents and school district staff, and concludes with a recommendation for an 8-year legislative reauthorization. Next slide, please.
I'll just comment. We've had Senator Machicki join the committee, and with no questions, we're on slide 16 of the presentation.
CESA is requesting reauthorization to continue providing the key services identified by the state of Alaska as being important to the full academic and social development of a child with a disability. This includes early activities of technical assistance reviewed earlier in the presentation. Next slide, please.
Slide 17.
CESA's customized database allows us to run reports of agency productivity. The slide captures activities of technical assistance, number of schools and districts served, and the number of trainings, customized and general, conducted on-site and via distance delivery, and an analysis of funds saved with CESA's investment in technologies of distance delivery. Savings are more than indicated on slide 17, since savings are also realized with site consultation provided via distance delivery. And with that, we go to slide 18, which is an opening for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pillay. We have a question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the chair, two questions to you, Director Pillay. The first is, I didn't hear the number for MATSU when you were giving the number served in the MATSU area. And then the second question is, if you could just generally talk about the impact of the pandemic to your services. I note the reduction in travel, those kinds of things, and how you've addressed that. And I think if you sit a little bit further away from the mic, you'll have less distortion, which is what we're getting on this end.
Okay. Well, as that, I'm just going to reach for a file because I did not have the numbers on hand for MATSU, but I will try to find that for you. If not, I will send it in an email.
Mr. Lampkin has a comment. Did you have the numbers available?
For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff, Senator Stevens, according to the LBANA report, if you see, refer to page 28, if you have it in your package, it indicates that the MATSU district has 3,000 students that CESA provides assistance to. Now, as a reminder, and I'm sure Mr. Clay will confirm this, but statutorily, when a district hits a threshold of 10 students, that's when they are responsible to provide those services themselves. And in this case, CESA is providing 3 deaf blind. Does that sound about right, Mr. Clay?
Follow up.
Yes, that is correct. For deaf blind, it's 3. I just checked. And for autism, it's 271 students in the MATSU.
What was the number? I didn't hear it.
271 students with autism in MATSU.
And was there a second question that you had about the COVID-19?
Yeah, just your general response. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your general response, Director Pillay, how have you been responding to the odd circumstances of this pandemic? I noted the travel issues, but what other kinds of things have you faced, and what are some of the challenges and ways you've overcome them?
Sure. Through the chair, we have One of the most important things that has affected us is that the number of requests for services went down because teachers are now working with students who are in rural locations, and so that upset the apple cart in the school situation. That followed by more direct services from parents, requests for services from parents. So we ended up working with a lot of parents. We ended up tutoring a lot of the teachers with the technology, and we ended up creating a lot of materials for parents who were working in the home situation. So the services changed from the typical in-service and observations in classrooms to actually more immediate solutions that teachers were facing in working with students when they're now removed from the classroom.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pillay. A question from Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, very interesting to hear the impact of COVID, and of course, students are not in classrooms and not in front of teachers, and that's got to have an impact. I just wanted to ask, maybe I've missed this, but if you gave earlier the number of specialists that you have in your department, what the caseload is, and referring not just to COVID, but also the some population decline in the state and various areas. What do you see as the future needs for your department?
Mr. Pillay?
Sure. Senator Stevens, through the chair. Right now, our caseload is in the region of about 350 students that we serve across the state. The highest numbers occur in multiple disabilities and autism. The more challenging need by school districts is for the more intensive disabilities like deafblindness and multiple disabilities as well. We find that a lot of our response depends on what's going on in the state in that particular year. When we have a high number of folks who are retiring, we get a whole cadre of new specialists who come into the district. If you look at specialists who graduated last year, they graduated from colleges that were affected by COVID, which means they did not have full practicums in the college setting. So now they are in their first year of teaching, having the theoretical knowledge, sometimes not having that practicum. That's when they call us and they say, look, I'm really stressed out because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to plan for students. On the other hand, we have teachers who are special ed teachers for maybe 15 or 20 years, but it may be the first time that they are encountering a child who's deafblind or a child who's on the spectrum of autism where they are knocking their head against the wall in the school. So we get a lot of those requests. At the beginning of the year, in August and September, superintendents normally call us to do in-service training for the entire staff. Like when there are districts that have high numbers of autism, we do trainings for the whole staff. So a lot of the services are a lot of one-on-one technical assistance, small group technical assistance, and also full district technical assistance. And so in the immediate future, I think we'll be doing a lot more training for teachers simply because they knew and they have not encountered the various disabilities that they will encounter in their classrooms.
Thank you, Mr. Pillay. A question from Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning. Thank you, Director Pillay. I'm sorry I didn't hear your entire presentation, so I apologize in advance if you already covered this. But before I ask the question, I was remembering back many years ago, I had a position as a one-on-one aide with a severely disabled young student, and it was one-on-one. It was very challenging. It was with the Fort Yukon School District, and so I really appreciate what you're doing for these children and young adults in our schools. My daughter, this was a number of years ago, has severe hearing loss. And she received some services just through the school, but I don't know that your agency ever had anything to do with any special accommodations for her. But one of the things I remember after she got out of high school, we had to kind of figure things out on our own. And we ended up going to vocational rehabilitation services. and as she was starting college to help with some of the accommodations she needed. So I'm wondering, does your agency for high school students, as they're graduating, provide any bridge to assist them as they move out of the public school system?
Yes, Senator Hughes, through the chair. So we follow the special education handbook, and the sequence of that is that we encourage the schools to put in place transition goals early in the school. So if there's a hearing loss, to deal with things like use of hearing aids, hearing aid management, and then have discussions with that through the high school, and then in the high school, through the middle school and high school, and then in the high school, work closely with DVR, and DVR is more responsible for the transition from school to college. But one of the things that I think is really important is the advocacy skills for students, because once they have an IEP, they can then go to the college and work with the disability office at the college and get some of those same accommodations as they go through college as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes and Mr. Pillay. With no other questions, thank you, Mr. Pillay. I believe, did you have any final words?
No, I'm good. Thank you for the opportunity to present to the committee.
Thank you so much. A question from Mr. Lampkin.
Mr. Chairman, Tim Lampkin, with your indulgence, we have a 5-minute video here we'd like to share at this time if there's no other discussion.
All right, with no other discussion, please proceed.
In person or virtually, and our audiences range from one-on-one to team-wide, school-wide, district-wide.
Hi, I'm Samantha Weiland. Another service we provide is creating materials such as adaptive books, file folder activities, and sensory activities to help accommodate our students so they can be more successful.
I'm Shane Phillips. This is my first year at CESA, and during online learning, we can observe lessons via Zoom and give real-time feedback and guidance.
My name is Mariah Corey, and I'm one of the multiple disability specialists here at CSET. Multiple disability specialists serve students qualified in special education programs in the following categories:
early childhood developmental delay, traumatic brain injury, other health impairment, orthopedic impairment, multiple disabilities, and cognitive impairment.
Meet our specialists, Mariah, Jennifer, and Amy. Some of what we do include support student communication, provide trainings, observe students and provide support, as well as provide adapted materials.
Hello, my name is Lion Johnson. I'm the Emotional Disability Specialist for the Special Education Service Agency. I've been working at CESA for about 15 years, flying all around the state, providing support services to students, staff, and all educators. My background, I'm a school psychologist by training, and also I'm a board-certified behavior analyst and licensed behavior analyst in the state of Alaska. Our goal is to provide training, technical assistance, and consultation to support teams for students that have IEPs who are under the eligibility category of emotional disturbance. We also provide services to students with other health impairments, with social, emotional, behavioral challenges, as well as students that are have the eligibility category of early childhood developmental delay with social, emotional, behavioral challenges recorded in the evaluation.
Angel Black. I'm the Vision and Orientation and Mobility Specialist here at CESA. I'd like to take a few moments to give you an overview of the services that are within these two programs. Let's try the vision. the development and the implementation of a student's IEP or instructional program. I can demonstrate and or teach specialized strategies to local school personnel, to the team that works with the student, to parents, and the community. I can assist the district in obtaining specialized instructional materials and or in adapting available materials or equipment that they may already have. I can also provide topical in-services, trainings, and workshops. And finally, I can provide consultation and instruction in the very important expanded core curriculum. Oh, and Andrew, what is that? Orientation and mobility training helps students with low vision and or blindness know where they are in space, where their bodies are in relation to their environment or to the objects around them. It helps them figure out where they want to go. That's the orientation. It also helps them to understand, to develop, and then carry out a plan to get to where they want to go. That's the mobility piece. As a certified O&M instructor, I can provide O&M assessments. And when I work with students, we work on sensory awareness skills, spatial concepts, searching skills, independent movement, human guide technique, protective techniques, and white cane skills.
Hi, my name is Olivia Yancey, and I'm one of two education specialists for the deaf and hard of hearing here at CESA. Our program goal is to provide distance and on-site technical assistance to support the educational and training needs of individuals that are deaf or hard of hearing, their school district teams, and the Alaskan communities that serve them. I'm going to turn it over to Kelsey.
Thanks, Olivia. I'm Kelsey Kendix, another deaf and hard of hearing education specialist here at CESA. We meet those needs by collaborating with and instructing the local school district special education staff on the educational impact of hearing loss, various communication abilities used by students with hearing loss, academic supports and curriculum modifications, language modeling, self-advocacy, and targeted evidence-based intervention.
Thank you, Mr. Lampkin. With that concluded, is I believe our next presenter will be Chris Curtis. Are they available? Chris, brief aside, do we need to sanitize the table? Brief aside. We are back to order. Thank you, Ms. Curtis, and LB&A auditor. And you're going to present your findings. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I am your state legislative auditor. The Division of Legislative Audit did conduct an audit of the CESA. It is dated April 2020. I believe you all have a copy of it in your packet. And the purpose of a sunset audit is to determine whether a board, commission, or in this case an agency, is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. So I do have a background information section in this audit. It starts on page 5. And I was going to skip over it, but given the communication difficulties, I'm going to kind of breeze through it real quick here. So CESA was created to help Alaskan school districts provide special education services to individuals with low-incidence disabilities. And again, low-incidence disabilities is a disability that occurs in less than 1% of the national school-age children. And the disabilities are more severe in nature and require specialized education intervention. This agency was established as a nonprofit corporation whose governing authority is the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. However, CESA's primary service So the Governor's Council is housed in the Department of Health and Social Services, but its primary services, its low-incidence disabilities, is actually budgeted and funded through the Department of Education and Early Development. And this funding is independent of the intensive needs funding that a district may otherwise receive as part of the annual education funding. CESA's funding provides additional financial support to help ensure students affected by low-incidence disabilities are receiving the free and appropriate public education that is required by state and federal law. CESA services are available to districts that have low-incidence special education needs that occur infrequently, making it difficult for the district to serve the low number of students with in need of a particular service. CESA recruits, trains, and retains these specialists to provide technical assistance and trainings to parents, to students, and to district staff without regard to location in the state. If you turn to page 8, you're going to see a map of all the students served by CESA. As of February 2020, there were 355 students served. And in addition, Appendix B.
Mr. Chair, I don't have a copy. I only have the report highlights. Do we have?
I don't have a copy either.
But I've already seen this. I'll pass you mine, and I'll look on with Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ms. Curtis, please resume.
Do members have the whole full report, Chair? Okay. So on page 28 is Appendix B, and it takes all those 35 students used by district, and it also shows you the categories of disability that are served by each district. It's helpful information for information on your respective districts. So in total, February 2020, there were 355 students served by CESA. Report conclusions, then I'm going to jump to page 11. Get on page 11. Okay. Overall, this audit concludes that CESA is serving the public's interest by assisting school districts and in providing students affected by low-incidence disabilities with an education to meet the children's unique needs. And this is done by providing opportunities also to enhance school district teachers and paraprofessionals' capabilities and providing resources. We are recommending the legislature extend this agency 8 years, which is the maximum allowed for in statute. On page, as part of the audit, a survey was sent to all special education directors in the 51 school districts to get their feedback on how CESA is performing. We received a response, 59% response rate. In general, the school district special education directors viewed CESA's expertise, their staff availability, and the services they provide very favorably. The survey questions, along with the responses, are summarized in Appendix C to the audit. If you turn to page 13, we describe CESA's statutory funding mechanism. CESA's funding for its low-incidence disabilities program is calculated by multiplying $18.65 by the state's average daily student daily membership. And that rate and that formula is set in statute. This rate of 1865 was established in 2013 when this agency was last extended. The last time we did this audit back in 2012, the rate was, I think, $15.65, something like that, and it hadn't changed for 14 years. So this rate is set in statute. It doesn't change, you know, given inflation. The funding, you know, over a span of time will go down as wages go up, that type of thing. And I don't know if you saw that in the charts that Patrick was showing you, but the funding over time will go down if there's no inflation built into the formula.
Ms. Curtis.
Yes.
I'm going to call a brief at ease. I believe some of the members here. The meeting's called back to order, and a question from Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Curtis, on 13, you talked about the funding mechanism, yet the average daily attendance has been dropping since 2017. How will that impact the average daily attendance overall, which is the funding mechanism, is dropping, yet the caseload is increasing? How do you see that sort of colliding into a funding issue for CESL?
Through the chair, that's interesting. The average daily membership, as you've noted, has been decreasing because during our period of time we reviewed, it stayed fairly stagnant. So that was the one. There's two components, the rate and the membership. The membership stayed stagnant, the rate stayed stagnant, so their funding stayed stagnant through the period we were reviewing, which is looking backwards. Of course, if the 10X goes down, that's going to have a significant impact given the calculation formula for this funding. And during the time we reviewed, from 2012 to 2020, their caseloads increased by 66%, yet their funding level never changed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think that's something we're going to possibly have to look at. I mean, it's separate from this extension bill, but it's something we'll have to flag for finance for consideration in the future.
Thank you, Senator Bachicki. Mrs. Curtis, please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. So moving on, we note that the CESA education specialists serving certain student categories were experiencing high caseloads. We do note in the audit that this agency was having trouble retaining and recruiting. Their wages were below Anchorage. Their health benefits were below Anchorage. Since that point, I believe that we do note in the audit that they have increased the wages and they have improved the health benefits. So going forward, we believe this will help the agency retain and recruit individuals and reduce their vacancies. We do have one recommendation for improvements that begins on page 18. We recommend CESA's executive director implement written procedures to ensure the reclassification of a student's referred disability is adequately supported and communicated to school district personnel. So we reviewed 42 student files as part of the audit, and we found 5 students' disabilities as identified on the school district referral form had been reclassified by a CESA education specialist. And there was no documentation in the file to help explain why it was reclassified. And for 4 of the 5 cases, we noted that there was no documentation to show that staff had communicated the reclassification to school district personnel. So just an easy administrative fix. We wanted to note that for improvements. Page 35 is the responses to the audit. The Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, the Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development, and the Chair of CESA all concurred with the report conclusions and agreed with the recommendation.
And would that conclude your presentation, Mrs.
Yes.
Curtis? Are there any questions from the committee? Hearing none, I thank you, Ms. Curtis, for your presentation. Next up would be Heidi Teschner. Is she in the room or is she on electronic?
Electronic.
On the phone.
Oh, on the phone. Heidi Teschner, please, if you can, walk us through the fiscal note. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. Begin your testimony. And if any of the members here don't have the fiscal note, please let me know.
Absolutely, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Good morning. For the record, my name is Heidi Teschner, and I am the Director of Finance and Support Services with the Department of Education and Early Development. You should have one fiscal note in front of you this morning for OMB component number 2735. The governor's fiscal year 22 budget request includes a projected grant amount of $2,404,400 for the Special Education Service Agency. This grant amount is based on a statutory calculation. And as Ms. Curtis stated, I'm just going to repeat what that is. So per Alaska Statute 1430650, the funding for CESA is determined by multiplying $18.65 by the average daily membership in the preceding fiscal year, as determined in Alaska Statute 1417600. So for fiscal year 22, the projected grant of $2,404,400 was determined by multiplying the fiscal year 2021 projected average daily membership, which was 128,923.91, by the $18.65. And so that's amounts reflected in the governor's 22 request, and that because the extension goes out through June 30th of 2028, according to the current version of SB 19, that amount proceeds forward into the out years. And the department will adjust each budget cycle to reflect the accurate amount to be paid based on the statutory formula. And that was my presentation on the fiscal note, unless there's questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Teschner. Any questions from the committee? Hearing none. Thank you, Ms. Teschner.
You're welcome.
Finally, we have some invited testimony. We will start with Jim Slater. Jim Slater, are you also on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Slater. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you for allowing me to testify, dear Chairman. My name is Jim Slater. I live near the rural community and hard-to-get-to community of Pelican with my wife, Jeremy, and our three kids, Allie, Jack, and our youngest, Jim. Jim has been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. I currently also serve as the president of Pelican City School Board. As you may know, the Pelican City School District is one of the smaller school districts in the state. We have no specialists who are trained to educate children in the spectrum or other children with other disabilities employed by our school district. Before CESA entered the picture, we would deal only with coordinators who would facilitate the development of an IEP and testers who would set benchmarks. But we had no regular input from a specialist who could establish, monitor, and if necessary, modify actual curriculums. This left a huge gap in the implementation of the IEP. CESA not only provided crucial input to the IEP, but also provided us as parents, as well as the school's teachers, an ongoing source of information regarding Jim's progress, suggestions of how to modify the curriculum, and in several cases, even supplied material from their lending library. Their help was especially crucial during the pandemic. As schools shut down and we went to a stay-at-home model, CESA's John Berriman, together with my wife Jeremy, taught young Jim for a short time every day. After this daily appointment with John, Jeremy would continue for the rest of the day following CESA's guidance. The results were overwhelming. Jim progressed to several grade levels in math, which had been his weakness, in a six-month period. We have more recently engaged the reading specialist from CESA, Tyler Arson, and are seeing big advancements there as well. Our school has recently returned to an in-school model, and CESA has continued to engage on a weekly basis with Jim and his teachers with small, regular class appointments. The progress has continued. This model of regular remote engagement has shown to be extremely effective and efficient. I strongly suggest and encourage the state to fund and even expand CESA's operation. I can't overemphasize the value that CESA has provided to our son's education. I sincerely believe that without CESA, Jim would not receive the education he needs and deserves. I feel this is true for virtually all the students that CESA serves, as well as many who don't yet receive its help. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Slater. We really appreciate your comments. Were there any questions from the committee? And thank you for your testimony, Mr. Slater. Next up would be Ben, I believe it's Greasy. Ben Greasy, are you on the line?
Oh, yeah, this is Ben Greasy.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Ben Greasy. I'm a special education teacher for Southwest Region School District in the village of New Stuyahawk. In 2009, I started my first teaching job as a special education teacher here in New Stuyahawk. We serve roughly 140 pre-K through 12 students. There's a number of students that have low incidence disability. They're here, and rural Alaska provides a very unique challenge due to limited access to materials and services. I know that in my first week of teaching, I was incredibly overwhelmed with the amount of work that was ahead of me, working with kids that were nonverbal, that have autism, severe behavior disorders, deaf, and I was unequipped to be able to handle that right from the start in my very first teaching position. The staff at CESA are vetted and they are experts in their field. Every person that is there is willing to go above and beyond. They were able to provide me with training in American Sign Language, provided me with ways to get communication devices for my kids, provided help with paperwork. They provided trainings to the district, to sites. They've been able to connect me to other professionals. They've been able to connect families that they work with to such as the deaf community. They've created lessons. They've laminated things. They've printed a multitude of things and mailed it out. They provide support for my students in school, out of school, anything that they can do to help. When they've traveled in, everything they do is invaluable. They're there here at school constantly in training and helping. During the pandemic right now, the distance services they provide and everything they've supported for me has really helped me meet the needs of my students. You know, I started in 2009 and I felt unequipped, but as years have gone on, like right now, in 2014, I was the Alaska Council for Exceptional Children Teacher of the Year, 2018 Governor's Council Inclusive Practice Award winner, and the 2020 Alaska Alternate Teacher of the Year. And I say that the reason why I am able to be successful as a special education teacher and provide the services that my students need is because of CESA. I don't think I would still be here in Alaska without their support. They are necessary. They're needed. My students have traveled to places like Hawaii, Florida. They've been able to participate in a graduation. CESA's helped lead disability awareness programs that have helped our community become even more accepting to students with disabilities. It's helped build a deaf ed program here. And even when my students was able to use their assistive technology device to speak at their graduation. So I said before that CESA is absolutely necessary, and I say that whatever we can do to continue to fund them, expand their services is absolutely necessary to support all the students, all the children, low incidence disabilities in Alaska. So thank you for allowing me to provide testimony.
Mr. Greasy, congratulations on your accomplishments, and thank you for your testimony for the support you received from CESA. Any questions from the committee or a comment from Senator Machigi?
Not for Mr. Greasy.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Greasy. Senator Machigi, did you have a question?
We have one question, one comment, Mr. Chairman. One question is this extension is for a year less than suggested by the department. I'm curious why that is the case.
So I believe Senator Stevens can provide some enlightenment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Tim Lampkin pointed out, it was simply a mistake in drafting, and so we're going to ask for an amendment to change that to 2029.
Yeah, that was just mentioned. You run a little late this morning. That was mentioned early in the presentation. Sorry to not have you up to speed on that.
Question.
And another question from Senator Machigi.
More of a comment. When I talked about the math a little earlier, I just sort of looking at that trend on out by the end of the term of this bill, and that's assuming that the average daily attendance remains steady. So today it's $5,656 per student. If that trend continues, it's going to be around $3,699 per student. So that is just sort of illustrates that we're going to have to think about, I don't know if inflation's the right word. I think there's going to have to be a different tie to increase or to at least keep the funding level per student somewhat consistent. And I will tell you, my kids are in the schools and I get to enjoy the presence of CESA students on a regular basis, and I am a huge supporter of the program. I'm amazed at the effectiveness, and I think we're going to have to deal with this funding issue if the trend continues on the drop of average daily attendance, the impacts could be significant much earlier than 2029. So we're going to have to think about that.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. With no other comments or maybe a question from Senator Begich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and maybe kind of a response to the concern that is on the table now. And I'd have to check this with Ms. Teschner, but I believe that if we do, in fact, do an early education bill, that will add to the ADM to some degree and mitigate the precipitous decline that would otherwise that you've identified, Senator Machicki. So I think there may be there are a number of tools in the toolbox here that we might be able to use to address it. But my question is, there was no request, as I understood, in the audit, or no identification from the executive director either that there was no interest at this time. But can we do an increase to funding for CESA when we're not in the position of reauthorizing? We're able to do that, aren't we?
Ms. Curtis or Mr. Lampkin, Ms. Curtis, will you address that?
For the record, this is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. I do believe that the last extension bill did include an increase to the rate in the statute. So they did an amendment to correct the rate out of Senate Finance, I believe.
A little different, I think, Mr. Chairman. What I'm asking is, can it happen without an extension bill? I mean, I assume it can.
Through the chair, yeah, absolutely. Changing a statute can be done through any mechanism, yeah.
Questions resolved? Thank you.
I do want to point out that in the background information section, the LID component of CESA's budget is what we're talking about. They have other funding sources. Laying on page 2, they do receive funding, federal grants and that type of thing. So they have other pockets of money, but the LID is their main program.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. All right, with no further questions or comments from the committee, I believe I see next up would be Lucy Hope. And Ms. Hope, are you online?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Okay, thank you. I'm getting some feedback here, so.
Yeah, we're fine. Maybe.
You still hear me okay?
If you draw away from your microphone a little bit.
My name is Lucy Hope. I'm speaking in support of the reauthorization of CESA through 2029. I've been working in Alaska in the field of special education for about 40 years. And throughout my career, I've worked with special education service agencies. I would just echo that many teachers in our state don't come with training to work with students that have low incidence disabilities. And this is where CESA services are so necessary. While I was director of the Matsu Borough School District Special Education Department until about a year and a half ago, I was the contact person to set up and maintain relationships with CESA, also initiating intake and requests for services. CESA was always responsive, always professional, always on target with what services they could provide. In Matsu, that's pretty limited because it's a large district to working with students with dual sensory impairments, specifically students who experience both deafness and blindness. These children require very specific and specialized teaching techniques, and CESA always provided that expertise so our staff could work with those students and provide free and appropriate public education. Currently, very different setting. I'm working with Aleutians Eastborough School District, and CESA has provided expertise in working with children in that district in a very different environment. I have been incredibly impressed and grateful for the guidance from the CESA specialists over the past 2 years. They recommend and lend curriculum materials, provide strategies, provide training for staff and for parents, which is crucial. I've worked with CESA specialists during on-site visits to the village, as well as distance support. And I would like to say that, you know, the distance support, I think, has been kind of a precursor to our teachers becoming confident and facile with teaching distance in a distance manner. CESA was doing that long before the pandemic, and I think now our teachers are really good at it, and CESA has been a leader in that. I would just like to finish by saying over the past 11 months, since the visits to districts have not been possible, Although Aleutians East has continued in-school services, in-person schooling, CESA has not wavered in the ability to provide meaningful and necessary guidance to ensure that the educational program for their students is maintained. They've been incredibly responsive. Parents have been impressed and grateful, as well as our staff. So I just hope you can move to reauthorize the CESA appropriation through 2029. And thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Ms. Hope. Any questions or comments from the committee? Hearing none, do any members have any questions or comments or points of discussion on any of the material we've seen? Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I am so impressed every time I hear what CESA does, and I know all of us are. You know, I want to thank the presenters, Patrick and Chris and also Heidi, but also the four stakeholders. I think they did a marvelous job. It's a very impressive agency, and I am only sorry that others in the Senate cannot hear this testimony, because it is very moving. Just imagine what Alaska would be without this agency. Imagine the lives that would be, or the students would be lost and the lives impacted. So tremendously important. I appreciate your hearing, everyone, and I certainly hope we get to share what we have learned with others in the Senate and get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Time allowing us maybe 20 more minutes this meeting, I see we have maybe a few other presenters available. Is there a Sam Crow on the line?
Good morning. This is Sam Crow. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mr. Crow, would you please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony?
Good morning. I'm Sam Crow, C-R-O-W. I'm calling from Bethel this morning. I'd like to start off by thanking you for the opportunity to provide testimony in regards to CESA. As you've heard from some of the testimony, CESA has been so impactful that it's really important that we have this opportunity to support. I'm speaking to you this morning from the perspective of a father of a visually impaired sixth grader. I'm also speaking to you with background of 25 years in teaching and administration at the Lower Kuskokwim School District. This morning we've heard wonderfully the education impact from CESA, and I'll just touch on that for a moment, that since kinder, when my son entered kindergarten and was his visual impairment was identified, CESA has been a partner in not only his educational life, but as far as his out-of-school life as well. Right from the beginning, CESA and Angel were working very carefully with my son's school, who, while they did have a full-time special ed teacher on staff, the areas of expertise to offer assistance to my son being visually impaired came straight from CESA and straight from Angel. At one point, there was a point in my son's education and his diagnosis that his vision was degenerative and that he would eventually lose most, if not all, of his sight. During that time, it was very difficult for our family. Angel and CESA were right there and preparing, helping to prepare, even at that young age, my son for potentially going through life with that. I'd like to speak also that we've heard great testimony on the educational impact, but what I'd like to share very briefly is that not only through CESA's assistance and Miss Angel's assistance, they've had a great impact on social and cultural impact on my son and family as well. My son is visually impaired, and if you can imagine everyone looking through the scope of a gun or maybe a paper towel tube, and that's how he sees the world, just as like it's looking through a paper towel tube. And so when he decided that for the first time in his young schooling that he'd like to join a sport, it was basketball, and I had great tears about it because I knew that there was going to be great difficulty there. I reached out to CESA right away. I reached out to Angel, and she reassured me, sent me some strategies, some discussion with the school and the coaches, and really through the confidence that my son had through his work with CESA and ANGEL, he was able to participate. And for me, I'm so appreciative of the academic support, but that really spilled over in his self-realization that he could do things, he could be a part of things, and his visual impairment didn't have to hold him back completely. And I credit all of that, everyone, to ANGEL and CESA. With that said, I just want to say that I hope that that the funding for CESA continues. It's had an incredible impact on our lives here in Bethel for my son, and I thank you for the opportunity for the testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Crow, thank you for sharing your experience with us. I also see that we have Lisa Villano. Lisa Villano, are you out there? Lisa Villano looks like the Alaska Council for Exceptional Children. Please state your name and your affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you very well.
Oh, perfect. My name is Lisa Villano, and I'm the president of the Alaska Council for Exceptional Children. A little bit about us real quick. CEC is the nation's oldest advocacy agency for students with disabilities and their staff. And the Alaska Council for Exceptional Children has been in place since 1989. And on behalf of all of our members statewide, which we are proud to include staff members from the Special Education Service Agency among those members, I would like to speak in support of fully funding and extending the Special Education Service Agency. I think that you would be hard-pressed to find any of our AKCEC members across the state that have not had a completely beneficial working relationship with someone from CESA. If I may speak candidly for myself, I have worked with a couple. I am a special ed teacher in Shishmaref, and as many of you probably know, being a student with a disability in rural Alaska can be a very isolating experience. There's not a whole lot of access to resources, and so the Special Education Service Agency is such a light for us, such a beacon of hope and resources. And I know that I, as a teacher, would not be the teacher that I am today without the resources and the training and the assistance that I get from CESA. So I think that I recognize that there is a financial impact, but I think that this is a piece of the budget that is well worth keeping in place. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Villano, and thanks to all the presenters who provided testimony on their experience with CESA this morning. Do any members have any further questions or comments, points of discussions?
I do.
One from Senator Machicki.
So this is sort of for Ms. Curtis, if you can come up, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see the other pools of funding, FY19, the total was $3.5 million and change. This FY19 was the first year they actually went into deficit. Do we know what FY20 looks like?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, are you referring to the Appendix D that has a schedule of revenues and expenditures, or are
yes.
you?
Yes,
okay. I can't comment on that, and Patrick might be the person to respond to the FY20 balances.
Yeah, I don't need that right now. This isn't finance, but I can't help going to numbers in a program as valuable. And then, Mr. Chairman, for Ms. Curtis, the Appendix B. So the numbers I saw served, when you add these columns up, are much higher. Is that because of some duplicity of services on, if you look at the grand total on the back page of Appendix B, is higher than the chart that showed 400 and something, 425, I think, for total served in the LID programs?
Senator Machiki, through the chair. So Appendix B shows 355 in total. The map also showed 355. It's two pages. You got the page before it. So that adds up. Are you thinking it doesn't add up, or it's lower than another number you saw?
Well, I saw 400 and something in the chart earlier.
Chart.
In the presentation.
Oh, that. So on page two, you'll note that we talk about other programs that the CESA has in addition to its LID program. So my guess is that they're referring to other individuals served through possibly their Autism Resource Center or their Indicators Project. They have Alaska Centers for Accessible Materials. They have Alaska Deaf, Dumb, Blind Project. So that could be outside of their LID program. So this Appendix B is only their LID, their Low Incidence Disability Outreach Program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I could reach out to CESA for the additional information.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. All right. Thank you to everyone for your time this morning. If there are no more questions on this topic, we will now set Senate Bill 19 aside for further review. If members have amendments, please send them to my office by next Friday, February 12th at 5 p.m. Our next meeting will be on Monday, February 8th at 9 a.m. Is there any other business for this committee? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 10:20.